Hey, this is Brawny AI, and here is one more of my podcast. As you know, in this show, Brawny AI from Zero to Creator, is not necessarily that each podcast will be structured in a way that you normally hear in other podcasts. I think first, it's because it's a journey, so I'm trying to figure out my voice, how to express myself in different medium, and just a background. I've never thought of doing this before, right? Sharing a little bit about myself. I used to work for corporations and then startups, and then I got burned in one of these experiences, just like a lot of people. And in the environment where I was doing things, it's really frowned upon, actually, the creators in general. It's like, look, why are you wasting your life on that? Look, most people will fail. Look, most people just treat it as a hobby. Why don't you treat it as a hobby, right? Look, people cannot earn money with being a content creator, right? Oh, only the very talented or the luckiest one can do it, right? So basically the whole discussion point and the surrounding environment that I was in was not definitely helpful in encouraging trying out a life like that, right? And to be honest, even within the Brawny AI space, the niche segment that we are in with the digital hunks being generated with AI, most of the people, they are just doing it as a hobby because it's definitely a very pleasurable thing to keep generating, putting your ideas from your mind and then crystallizing them into images. So that's like revolutionary if you think about it. As much as we are already committed and doing it every day, and everything seems to be like, okay, Stable Diffusion version 1, right? Or even pre version 1 is like, oh, that's so passé, so old news. But actually, if you think about it, 2 years ago, we were not discussing even this. We're just thinking about something else completely, right? But now we are talking about, like, as much as there's these movements anti-AI in the creator and the artistic world, I don't get bothered by it, to be honest, because at the end of the day, I'm focusing on myself and the people who appreciate the work that I'm doing. So it's like, guys, if you want to be anti-AI, it's your problem, right? But for me, it gives the ability of me expressing the world vision that I have about things that I like, about connections of random things that I see in our world, and then leverage that with creativity to create the digital hunks that I really love. So that's pretty much the impressive and the amazing thing that is happening right now. And being a creator or trying out a career like this, I think it's like, I'm happy that I'm a frugal person in general. I do spend a lot of money in certain things if I like them. But in general, I'm frugal, and then I was able to, let's say, have some cushion, financial cushions to actually dedicate to Brawny AI 100%, even though I wasn't monetizing or doing anything in that regards, right? While some other creators, I think, do for many reasons. There's one who used to be a teacher in a public school, and he was able to actually earn enough, not in the US, right? But in his country, he was able to actually earn enough to dedicate to his work, right? By just generating digital hunks, right? Some of you might know who I'm talking about. But here, I'm not trying to put a spotlight on anyone, right? Because I didn't ask the permission from that person to tell this. But it's public. It's on this person's Twitter, right? But each of us, as a creator, we're struggling to find our own path, not just from the perspective of a career, right? but we are actually fighting to keep what we love and keep doing what we love for the long term, right? It's just like each of us has different ways and different strategies. And even like the digital hunks at the end of the day, when we generate all these images, we are always slightly different, right? And slightly can mean a wide range of slightness or like huge. So it really depends. And everybody's exploring new ideas, trying out new things. And I think that's very enriching, encouraging. I always think about that. We are the first generation of generative AI creators. I will avoid using the word artists, but creators. And we just, based on all these technological changes from the past, our work is just simply continue our work, right? And don't give up. Because we've been here for a year. Bronia has been around for almost a year, very soon, March 6th. And we are entering the second year. And then the third year, if we keep building, if you keep spreading our messages, building our following base, user base, at that time we will be bigger than what we used to be when we just started a year ago. So this is how things work, right? So we just have to keep playing this thing, and then crossing fingers, we will establish or becoming more in a stronger footing. Now, with the technological change, and this is something special because it's a merge of, let's say, AI, technology, and art and entertainment, right? Let's say this mix of things. We are also more vulnerable from disruption, right? For instance, if people start generating these images just by saying a word and they are look everything beautiful and etc., then obviously we treat it as an economic kind of problem, and I'm an economist, by the way. Then you will say, oh, but there's a lot of supply and less demand, therefore the market is gonna be more favorable to the buyers than the sellers, right? Just a simple supply and demand curve kind of analysis, right? But the way that I see is actually different. When we actually treat content in general, definitely there are content that resonates with more people than others, right? So for instance, if you see most of the viral videos, and they're pretty random if you think about it, right? It's like there's always this video that shows up like, oh, a guy who does X, Y, and Z, and then you create a new account, it shows the same, like, because it's like it's resonates to that baseline human reactions of things or curiosity, right? But when you think about it, it's like, look, I'm not actually trying to be a trend, like chasing a trend here, right? That's not my goal. I'm here to create digital hunks. So it's like, I don't care. Right, it doesn't give me pleasure. I mean, it's to have gazillions of likes and potentially make a business out of it, but it's like that's not what I'm looking for. And when you think from that perspective, you don't care that much anymore, right? Or in my case, it's like Bronia doesn't do non-safe for work kind of material. And depending which platform you are in, you again, from this economic perspective, you are in disadvantage position, right? However, from my working experience, when you think from the branding perspective, market segmentation, in that, and this is actually where I'm coming from, right? And obviously using the economic and other kind of parts to see how things works, but when you think from the branding and marketing perspective, Bronia is actually targeting something very specific and unique, actually. As much as we are doing digital hunks, right? Some people might say, oh, I actually there was a lot of feedback before that I used to hear, right? Maybe not now, I don't know. But it's like, besides people like, oh, I enjoy your work, some people are like, there's something different in your images or something like that, right? Again, I'm using the same tools as most of the people. It's not like there's something special. Maybe my prompts are different, or maybe I use Loras and I create Loras, I just don't publish them. But it's like, or maybe my Loras are a little bit different. Maybe, although my latest images, I'm not using Lora, right? So there's something there. And this something I can share because it doesn't actually disrupt. You just show where things are coming from, right? When you do a market segmentation in our digital hunk space, it comes down to past artist perspective, right? When you think about our area, we are, at least in my case, I see the whole thing as the masculinity market. It's not about nudity. It's not about, let's say, porn or something like that, right? It's about masculinity. When you think from this perspective and beyond, and then you suddenly realize, oh, now it makes sense why I don't necessarily need to focus on NSFW. I might push a little bit to be edgy sometimes, but that's not necessarily the main thing, right? But it's about exploring that. How do I make it look more masculine, right? Masculine, yes, adding muscles for sure, right? It's one of the easiest ways to show masculinity, but how other things, right? And masculinity, you also drive that thing about masculinity. There's the toxic version, less toxic, or a welcoming one. And then you can further explore what kind of masculinity you are aiming for, right? Going back to what I was talking about, the past artist, when we think from that perspective, you have a couple of very famous ones from the past, and let's say the newer generation of artists that are very well respected in the digital space, right? So for instance, you have Tom of Finland, right? And then Joe Mann, right? If some of you have heard from Asian perspective, you have people like Jiraiya, right? That does the Bara kind of guys, right? And then you have Gengoro Tagame. You have like these super well-established, well-known classic artists out there doing masculine man. And all of them, and look at this pattern, all of them have to do touch on porn, right? So when I started on Brownie AI, as I was... Again, I started as just like a hobby, literally, right? Just like, okay, let's just put a name on your Instagram profile because you need to choose something, right? But as things were evolving, I was like, should I do just follow the lead, what other have done, or should I try something new? And now you guys know, I went for a different path, right? And obviously, there's costs and things, but again, that's the marketing segmentation. That's the branding. A strong brand is a brand that knows what the brand needs and what the brand doesn't need. And as a consequence of that, you will have people that doesn't like you and people who loves you, right? A brand that tries to please everybody, right? If you worked in marketing, you've heard this, or entrepreneur, right? Or you're starting your own business kind of thing, you've heard that a brand that tries to please everybody ends up not being anything. And that's true because you'll see, oh, that's nice. This nice is killing, right? It's gonna kill your business or your brand. But comments that I've received too, like, I'm getting tired of your hunks because they never show the next step, right? That's what I'm looking for. I was like, okay, that means that I'm on track for what I'm looking for Brawny AI, right? Again, I'm focusing on masculinity, but it doesn't necessarily mean porn. While the other artists, and to be honest, you do have to do porn because that's actually where people are putting the money on, right? And then if that's the case, where Brawny AI is actually heading for, right? Again, if I'm focused on masculinity, gay, and etc., right? At least for my vision, it's not about porn for the long term, and sometimes I keep saying that in some of the posts, we're here for the long term, is that in my search for what kind of medium can make a content last for a very long time, right? And this is the pattern that happens even with the artists that are doing porn. It's actually books, right? It's actually it's not pretty posters, because eventually the poster will run out and etc. So the book, like Gengoro Tagame with his book My Brother's Husband, he's famous and established not only because of his previous work with Vara, right, explicit materials, but he really established himself because of the book, right? And Tom of Finland, because how he established himself eventually, because there were so many books, right, about his work, and then he crystallized his present in history, right? And for us, because we are living in a digital space where everything has an expiration date, right? Even though the material is there, but it's hard to actually find them, right? With this the huge amount of content that are generating every single day. So there's no longevity, right? What I'm saying might change in the future, who knows? But my perspective is like, look, I'm very virtual, digital. That's actually where my expertise comes from. But to the more physical world, it's definitely challenging for me. But for the long term, I definitely want to dedicate time with Lumberland, writing a book about it. And the focus here is actually, for Brawn AI, is storytelling. The digital hunks as an image is just the first step, right? And no wonder my work, you will see me exploring videos, even though the videos are not that great yet. It's not Sora quality, right? The voiceovers, the talking heads, the early work versus the current one, there's some improvements, still a lot to go, right? But why I keep pushing this kind of half, let's say, not so perfect kind of material, and why not wait? Because first, if you wait, somebody else will be doing it, right? Second, to be honest, it's like the workflow. Nobody has invented a workflow that manages all these different content and putting them together in something that makes sense, right? People who are already doing this as an animation perspective, they will follow and use their toolkits. They're not going to use AI, right? Eventually they will, but they will use as an extension of their existing toolkit. But for me and for other creators coming from AI, whoever actually start using Stable Diffusion, Midjourney, and whatever the runway to Pika or SDV, whatever, Stable Diffusion video, going from there to actually create these videos is something new, right? And I think sometimes we underestimate that. It's like, oh, but the audience just cares about the end product, right? Sure. But the creation of it within the creators, right, and animators, that matters, right? Because if you have a very good workflow, you will get consistency and high quality, right? And that's what we are trying to achieve with workflows. And then once we get there, right, we can consistently produce what we want. We can control what we want to produce with higher precision and accuracy from our vision in our mind and transforming into something more tangible like a video. We can actually decrease the cost of time, right? We can scale, meaning that, look, now I have the workflow, which works like a formula. I can just plug in, or it's a plug and play, right? It's like, if I don't like something, I just take that out, that piece, and then put something else, and then I have a completely total different content, but it has all that quality or consistency that you want for your brand, for your artistic kind of vision, right? This is what I'm aiming for at the end of the day, from the technical and behind the scene perspective. It's not just like, oh, this is so cool. No, it's actually beyond that. When you apply this idea to, oh, how do I actually make content for a book? How do I make a content for a video? How do I make a lyric for music, right? And to be honest, it's like, the critics might be right in the sense, oh, you just have to prompt and something, when some garbage will come out of the other side, right? In a very cynical and simplistic worldview, yes, that's true, right? There's no denial that, yeah, you pretty much write something and then something will come out of it, right? But again, this is very short-sighted kind of perspective, right? We are just on this thing, right? Generative AI started obviously before that, but achieving commercial quality the way that it is, it was just very recent, a year and a half. Imagine 4 years from now, imagine 5 years from now, the tools will get better, but the workflow, right, we get even better techniques of how to prompt, right? Even though you could say that a lot of startups and everybody's like, they're trying to find out ways to make it more accessible for the average users to create something that the prompt engineers can do. And to be honest, a lot of these image platform, right, if you really think about it, they are basically like exploring the workflow in something like a comfy UI. Once they figure it out, they just have to replicate that in their platform, and that's it. Put a nice UI and done. And most average user will just be able to do the same thing as a more expert kind of user in Stable Diffusion, right? So Midjourney does the same thing. Everything that they do is a workflow behind the scene, right? But coming back to the core, again, this doesn't matter for me, right? Because I'm exploring further and further these workflows that will be able to generate content that it's not that easily replicable by others, right? Naturally, that will happen if you keep pushing and discovering new technology and new techniques out of it, right? When you have this comprehension about, first, this belief that in the next few years the technology will improve better, right? The techniques will come along. Your artistic vision, the subjects that you discuss, you are honing in to tell stories that resonate better with your vision and your audience. That's actually a magical thing that will happen, right? When you have all these multiple things maturing from the technology perspective, technique and content, your artistic vision, this combination is pretty powerful to actually create potential masterpiece in the future, right? And when you believe in that, that's an extra motivation for you to keep going, right? It's like, look, I'm actually at the edge of this technology within my niche market, however small it is, right? Let's say small, big enough where I can survive as a creator, I'm in, because I'm really passionate about doing this, right? It's like I can wake up and it's like, hey, let's just generate some images. Let's learn some new techniques. Let's check out what others are doing. Oh gosh, how this person make this video? Oh, it's Sora. Okay, forget about it. Right. Oh, animative. Oh, wow. How this person is getting this consistency that easily, right? We can get the consistency in anime diff in various way, right? But I think, and usually you see that people who are doing good anime diff and good meaning like the consistency of the video, well, it's always about the dancing video. You have to be suspicious about that, right? I tried it and I do understand why, right? So again, you see everything is changing and it's a very enriching experience, right? And if this happens to be the thing that you like to do, I encourage you to actually invest on it, right? Invest your time, right? If you have the money, buy the 4090 or whatever, right? Because we are at the beginning of this. And if this is already that fantastic, imagine a few years from now. No kidding. It's the same thing that happens with mobile apps, right? People are like, oh, it's just an weather app. No. Uber, right? Look, all these new economies that came out of it, right? And back to Brony AI, where I want to take this to. First, the book is essential because it creates the characters. It can create that connection of people seeing these characters to grow from, each of them are literally starting from zero to something, right? And once you have that background, the storyline, how things work, then you can express them in different medium from a podcast, right? And or you can make a video, right? A chapter or a scene. And this is pretty fantastic, right? It's not, we cannot do that today. But in order to do that today, you need to have a huge budget. Why? Because you need to hire actors. If you don't hire actors, you have to hire animators. Oh, but I don't want it to be in an anime style or whatever style, right? I want it to be photorealistic. Oh, so you have to hire actors, right? If you don't have good actors that they look in the way that you want, then you have to start making trade-offs, right? So therefore, is it possible? Yes, right? Is it doable? Not really. For a small content creator like myself, right? I cannot put my visioning into the reality, right? But with AI, that becomes possible. And then you will say like, oh, but that's gonna put out everybody else that works in this space out of job. I don't think so, right? Because at the end of the day, everybody wants to tell their stories in some ways, right? It's just like, are you willing to actually pause everything else in your life to do that? That's already a difference, right? I'm definitely passionate about it. Because I can keep talking about this for the whole day if I wanted to. To Brony AI, I think I definitely need to figure out ways to make a living, right? So I can actually reach that 2-3 years mark without hardship, right? Also, make enough money that I can invest in new hardware. Because honestly, if you're thinking that you can generate hot hunks in a video on Sora, don't sweat about it, right? You can definitely make a lot of content still with hunks with Sora, but not the way that you want it to, right? It would have to be very artistic, and we are already seeing that on Midjourney and other tools, right? Like, I started using Midjourney just recently enough in a month and a half ago, right? So it's like you kind of like, okay, I cannot do this, I cannot do that. Although you can still create shirtless guys quite easily, right? But it's never exactly the way that you want it, right? In Stable Diffusion, otherwise, I am able to create the hunks that are almost in the way that I think, right? And videos is definitely going to be interesting. I can definitely see a lot of creators rushing to create porn videos for sure, right? And that's actually where the big money is. Again, more interesting to talk about everything before that step, right? And that requires kind of like it's not putting people on edge, it's not like that. It's just like, if you really think about it, for most people, it's not like sex is everything in our life, right? It's definitely a point, right? When the sex is good. But it's just a fraction of what you do in your life. I will describe a scene that I experienced here in Okinawa. And if somehow I can translate that back into the Lumberlandia universe and the effect of what I had by seeing that scene in real life is transposed to that universe and people resonate with that, that's my artistic vision, right? So basically it was a raining day, rainy, and I really need to take this monorail, and I was like, oh, it's raining too much, and I cannot get more wet than this. And I tried to find a refuge, right? A place to just stay for a little bit. I found out this old convenience store, and when I saw this convenience store, it reminded me of those animes or those Asian movies where you see old couple or old grandma, old grandpa, who are basically the owner of the store, and they sell these snacks or little toys in a kind of like a, I wouldn't say rundown, but old house with a front store with things spread it out, like mixed up. Not, they're tidy, but not at the same time,
right?
Wooden plates, some kind of a cartoon stickers on the wall and stuff like that, just to attract the kids, right? And it happens that there was a bunch of school kids between 5 to 7 years old. They're all chatting, happy, and just nonstop moving, right? Then there was these three teenagers, and again, these three teenagers, in Japan, they all have to use uniforms, right? The school, so they always dress like a shirt, white shirt. In this case, because we're in Okinawa, so it's hot. So they were using like a short shirt, and they have to use a tie, which in this case was red. It's very stereotypical, right? And then one of this guy, who probably was the oldest, or just like the one that grew the most, he had this attitude like from this anime, I don't care, I'm cool attitude. But he was curious about me, and I was curious about him, because it's like it's literally two worlds colliding at that moment, right? We exchanged some glances. It's like, okay, curious, both of us, but we didn't engage. But for me, I think it left a mark where he was dressing like these anime characters, like the protagonist, have like a carefree teenage with shirt, with a tie, with shirt, the top shirt button opened, and like messy hair, and he had a baseball hat, bat with him, because they were playing baseball before, probably. So he hold his bat like on his back, right? So his arm was lifted with his bat on his back, right? And he had the backpacking with the other arms. So I was like, oh my goodness, this is super stereotypical of what I watched on anime, right? And seeing in real life, like live action, it was priceless for me. It was like, oh my goodness, this is real. It's like, those animes are not making shit up. It's the real thing. It's common, right? And as a tourist, you don't see this kind of thing often, because you're not going to a school area or some kind of random place. But in my case, I usually go to random places because I love to immerse myself into the local cultures, right? And this is actually what I look for when I'm traveling. And therefore, I need to stay in a place long enough to see that. And it was raining, so everybody was like under the roof of the front store of this convenience store. And I enter into the convenience stores to check out, and they have all these lovely snacks that kids love and drinks. I bought some of them. The kids left when I came back out. The couple who manages the store, the grandmom and pop shop, right? It was really cute. They were literally like what you see on TV shows. And I opened my snack. They were tasty. I try things that I normally don't try, like this kind of breaded with butter or condensed milk snack bread. I was like, just try it. Right? And it was great. I actually bought more later on. But it was very lovely, this whole experience. And then the three teenagers, they were kind of getting bored and they wanted to sit down. And then the other side of the street, there was an open garage with a roof. So two of them just ran away when I came out. And the last one was hesitant, right? He was a little bit more preppy because he had his clothes, and he was kind of, I think he didn't want it to wet his clothes. And then the other two guys were taunting him too, like, just come, just saying, obviously in Japanese, but in my imagination, it's just like, hey, just come. Whatever they were saying is like, just come here, don't be a pussy, or just come here, right? And eventually the hesitant one look around for cars, and he just ran with his friends. They go there, they keep chatting, playing, making funny faces, and then one of them sit down, tired, checking his phone, and the other one was just keep talking, right?
And when I see that whole scene, I was like, this is so precious, because it's like, when I think about my life, these little moments, they actually didn't happen that often,
right?
In a year, maybe it could happen 10 times,
right?
Less than once a month,
right?
But to have that kind of experience as a teenager, where you don't have to care about paying the bills, you don't have to care about like relationships, you don't have to care about, oh, am I going to be able to retire, right, comfortably, or I will be poor, right? Or, oh, it's like, oh, my life is, I'm in the middle of the lifespan of a normal human. It's like, what should I do next? Because next is downhill. It's like, your health is not going to get better, right? And everything is not going to get better, right, from that point and beyond. So you have all these negativity and worries, and let's say in my case, oh, what's going to happen with Brawny AI? How are you going to earn money and things like that? Is it going to be successful? Or what's happening with your Instagram account? And sometimes these kind of simple moments, they are so valuable. And I wish when those things happen to me, I could, how can I say, be more present. I think I did, but I'm not sure, right? Because they're never coming back. And if there was a way, I could tell these guys, look, appreciate this moment because it's very precious. You might never get it back again in the future. And this scene, if I'm able to transform this raw material into the story that I want to tell with my digital hunks, it's my goal. Sometimes we just have to appreciate the little things, the simple things in life, right? It's like, oh, I want to buy that Mercedes, the G-Wagon, right? It's like, I don't know why people have love for that. Actually, I hate it because one of the person that hurt my career tattoo. But it's like, yeah, I understand why, because you are in a very materialistic kind of mood. I would say mood because things can change, where you are hanging out with people that just look for, oh, how much money are you going to make? Oh, you know, like that new generative AI, let's invest on it. Let's make some bucks, right? Let's invest a couple million dollars or something like that. So it's pretty easy for you to be taken away and just get into this crazy materialistic vibe where happiness is equal to the number of money you make, as well as the car you drive, as the places and the who knows who kind of connections you do. Is, oh, I know Elon Musk. You see, I'm important. It's like, who gives a fuck? And fortunately, most people are like that. It's like, oh, this person, blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, it's cool, but at the end of the day, they are not going to help you achieve your artistic vision, right? It's like, it doesn't work like that. So, but when I end up having this kind of experience, this cathartic experience of things so simple, and really appreciate the nuance and the beauty of these simple things, it's magical, right? Because, look, in my case, I have stomach issues. I don't sleep that well, right? Or enough. So sometimes my left hand has carp tunnel kind of syndrome feeling, right? Because the way I sleep, or maybe because I'm using the phone too much. So as we get older, then the feeling of normalcy, it keeps decreasing with time. And being able to feel normal and appreciate the simple things. And these simple things, actually, they bring the idea that you are alive, you exist at this moment. It's priceless. Versus, oh, I need to chase the next thing. I need to chase the next dollar. I need to chase the next step up in my career, right? It's priceless. It's like what this teenager experienced, these little joys and moments in life without having to worry about anything else. It's in good health with the future, or the imagination, or the impression that the future is bright, it's opened, there's no restrictions, right? There's no setbacks. It's priceless. It's, if I could pay for it, I would have it. Right? And if somehow I can transmit that back to the things that I like digital hunks, and tell the story in a way and have that impact to others, like the way that these scenes impacted me, this is, oh wow, right? And therefore, when you think about like the images are just the first step
it's not enough to do images to tell a story like this. Podcasts, but you're hearing this from the creator perspective, right? It's like, oh wow, there's actually a plan, there's actually steps, right? But that's not the same thing as you are unprimed, you didn't know about this. Suddenly you see an image of this hunk, very curious. Oh, there's a VIP about this character and even a story about it. You can read the story again. This could be told as a written form, and I think you could achieve, right? With the right writing skills that I might not have, right? So I have to develop that. You could achieve something close to it. But we also live in a world where people are moving so much to visual that written is essential to actually make sure that you are able to tell the story and there's a logic and people can comprehend and even the AI can comprehend, right? Again, prompt, right? You still need to write something. And then you can leverage the video to create the scene. But this is just the beginning. And therefore, you see the existing people who do video editing and stuff like that. Even if you have AI, it will not be enough. All the videos generated by AI will be very in the future. Potentially with the screens and scenes, but you still need to stitch all of them together in a way that is coherent to your artistic vision. And you need a human. Especially because it's coming out of my head. It's not coming out from the AI, right? And then when you have the video, again, that's not enough. You need the audio. And then you start seeing that maybe in the future there will be a generative AI that is multimodal that will do everything all at once, right? But again, you need to write the story. You need to actually see in your mind what that scene is gonna be. Who are the characters, how they should interact, right? And then make sure that the output of the AI makes sense, right? And in my case, I see myself more as stitching all these different tools together and then making that video or that mini movie, whatever that is, into something coherent that makes sense, right? And it may be because of that, you see my effort of creating content of different mediums, because this is actually the end game, the end goal, right? This is a longer podcast than others. We basically focus on how I started the day, waiting for my flight to Ishigaki from Naha, Okinawa. We started talking about the creators, or discussing a little bit about the, let's say, AI, it's an art or not, but more focus on the branding, the segmentation, touching on why Barney AI doesn't do NSFW, right? And that's important, the branding. You, if you are a creator, to really think about it. What are you standing for? This is not like a metaphorical discussion, right? It has real implications. The moment that you know when to say no to certain things instead of just copying what's out there, then you realize the power of it, right? Because you will bring conviction, right? Even though you will be tempted to do things what others want to do, but if you stick your guns to it, your brand will stand out naturally without effort. It's just that. Right, it's like I don't sweat about how Brownie AI is for other people. And then finally, I spent a lot of time to discuss about why Brownie AI, the digital hunks, and I were just focusing on the images themselves. Why all investing and spreading too thin sometimes into other areas like sound, music, and videos if the technology is not up to par. Right, because again, we need to develop these techniques in order to match with the tool that are also becoming better in the future, right? Even if the AI can understand bad prompts and transform into something good, you still need to create your own workflows, and then you cannot rely on the platforms to create your content because they will have censorship. Or you can do the content that might not necessarily fitting for your artistic vision, and this is up to your personal objective, right? And then we move to the description of a scene where personally it did affect me in a very positive way, and I use it as an example of why Brony AI is focusing on so many different mediums, right? Because there's a goal of trying to replicate that into his work. Thanks for listening. I know that it was long. I really appreciate for those ones who stayed until now. And see you next time. Brony AI with love.